forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Work Stew. It's May 25th, 2013, and this is episode number 66. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with Tom Lynch, a locksmith who has been working in New York for more than 25 years. I caught up with him at midnight, and armed with a big cup of coffee, he was just getting started. So let's start with the hour of the day. Do you always start work at midnight?
No, I spend a lot of time in the evenings preparing jobs for the following day or the following week. And I'm kind of a hard charger, so I work around the clock as much as I have to.
Got it. And you have the letters CRL behind your name. So what does that stand for, and what does it really mean professionally?
Well, professionally, it's a rating certification. There's several different types that are available in the industry, as well as in the security industry overall. It basically indicates that you've sat down, you've taken a test, and you've shown some proficiency. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have hands-on proficiency, but you certainly understand the skill sets that are involved, and you've challenged yourself.
Right. You do have a lot of hands-on proficiency. You've been in this business for a long time. Tell me a little bit about how you got into it and why you got into it.
Well, it's a very interesting industry. I look at it as something that's very fun, very hip. And for lack of a better phrase, I look at it as something sexy. It's a very creative, innovative craft. And I was always the type that didn't like to be told that I couldn't go somewhere or couldn't do something. And a lot of my peers are the same way. They're very independent solopreneurs or entrepreneurs that possess a variety of skills, such as carpentry, masonry, electronics, machinists, and they're critical thinkers, they're problem solvers, and a lot of the interest in what we do as a locksmith involves behaving like a doctor, a detective, and a mechanic. So when I was younger, I was always interested in the craft, and one day it was rather funny that we were playing down on the railroad tracks here in New York, that was our playground. And there was a train derailment, and there was a caboose that all of us were climbing on. And, kind of like the little rascals, we were all trying to have fun and get into the caboose. And I don't want to make it sound like we were trying to do something improper, but we were young. And I had a ring of keys, and I was intrigued. And I'm trying all these keys that I had collected to see if I could be the big shot and get the door open. And again, it was innocent. And I got so frustrated and was laughed at by my peers that I actually went home and I said to myself, I'm going to solve this problem. And I went and got a ratchet set, and I realized that I could just take the whole door frame off if I had to. Hmm. And, from that point, it was pretty clear that I had the drive to be a problem solver. And I had a foster brother that was taken from the home. My parents used to care for a lot of foster kids. And one of them ultimately ended up working as a locksmith in New York City. I don't know if you recall Leona Helmsley, who was a property
I
owner.
I do,
large,
yeah.
Yeah, a large real estate owner prior to Donald Trump, I believe. And he ended up working for her, or maybe not for her directly, but at least on some of her major properties. And he had gotten injured. And my mom had asked me to go and help him out because she was concerned for his livelihood. And that's how I got started, basically. I got thrown into the fire. And I didn't start with much. Hmm. I started with 25 random key blanks and a little tiny key machine that was given to me. Mm-hmm. And I took on a lot of home study material. I had a local locksmith who was kind enough to give me about 20 years of old industry trade magazines. And I basically self-taught myself. I was very engaged and enamored by not so much the mystery of the craft, but the problem-solving aspect. It was fun.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the more fun type of industries you can be in, because it's you against something that you're not supposed to be able to defeat.
So tell me, is that a fairly typical story in some ways? Are a lot of locksmiths self-taught? Is there any kind of formal apprenticing that goes on out there? Are there classes that some people take?
Oh, certainly. There's been an evolution of the industry. Years ago, it used to be a hand-me-down type of craft. And as I said, I was brought in under the wings of a mentor, which, you know, was my foster brother. In most cases, you'll see a father passing down to his son the shop or the craft or the business that they have created. It used to be a lot of home study correspondence type courses. Now it's evolved into residential courses. Some of the local community colleges are now offering it as part of a curriculum within their criminal justice degrees, because we've moved from not just locksmithing, but the command security officer now, in lieu of 9/11, has now become a very big segment of the industry. There's been a convergence of all the technologies, and it's becoming more and more exotic. I mean, look, the mechanical locksmith is still a fantastic growth area. In fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that the locksmith is one of the highest growth rates of any industry between 2006 and 2016.
Hmm.
So, there's definitely training opportunities, and even online right now. I belong to the Society of Professional Locksmiths, which I founded, and we offer online training now to kind of accelerate and help people who are interested in the craft.
So I know when we first connected via email, you mentioned, going and doing some work, I think it was at a daycare. And is that what you're talking about when you say that there's new levels of security being installed in all sorts of places that might have had simpler systems before?
Yeah, there's opportunities in the electromechanical, electronic, biometrics, and even now there's a new technology through Wi-Fi and what they call Z-Wave technology. A lot of these facilities are interested in what we call access control or electronic access control. And the mechanical portion of the business, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an integration between the different skill sets and the different products, and trying to get them to all work. Almost, let's call it a system integrator, bringing the electronics and the mechanical together at the crossroads. And making that happen. And yes, the daycare centers, unfortunately, with the recent shootings, the tragedies, have begun to upgrade, and they're starting to move into a more balanced security scheme, so to speak.
Right.
And it does involve the electronic access control, CCTV, and the locksmith does it all. And the locksmith has been doing it. They've been on the forefront of this for years.
You see, I didn't realize that, because, I will admit I've called a locksmith many, many times in my life. I have a key problem. But it's always to get let into a place that I've locked myself out of. And what I'm now hearing is that a big part of your business is actually installing these systems in the first place and designing them. Is that right?
That's correct. And that's probably one of the biggest problems that we face as an industry, and that's why I say to you, it is a very fun, creative, and again, I'll use the word, it's a sexy job, because you're really involved with some extremely innovative products, and a lot of them the general public are not aware of. That when they think of a locksmith, the first thing they think of is just having a key duplicated.
Mm-hmm.
And not to insult a shoemaker, because I grew up in a small town where I had an Italian immigrant who was a shoemaker, and I can tell you he was a craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the hand of the craftsman, and the locksmith is no different. The locksmith has been doing CCTV, electronic access. There's even biometrics now where they're reading of the fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we've been doing for a very long time, but there seems to be a perception problem when it comes to understanding what we do.
One thing I wanted to ask about was the ethics of your business, what kind of sort of standards, policies, training there is. I had a funny moment when I was filling out the form on your society's website where it asked for my physical address. And I just paused thinking, why on earth am I giving this band of locksmiths my address? I will confess now that I made something up. But how do you know that the skills that you are equipping your fellow locksmiths with are going to be used for good and not for evil?
Well, and that's a really, really good question. The fabric of the industry, if someone were to take the time to really look into it, and we do have that information on our website, and I'll be more than happy to direct you to it. The fabric of the industry really is built upon the way that the locksmiths interact within one another, within their own community. You know, it's a big industry, but it's a very small industry. And the professionals tend to gravitate to one another. They tend to associate with one another, whether it's in a local association or a business group, because the craft, like any craft, revolves around others sharing information. And when we think about it, the locksmith trade for years was a very secretive, closed community. And the information, as you said, as a consumer or anyone else, you wouldn't really understand some of the tricks that the locksmiths would engage in. And of course, with the internet, things are a lot different now because people and young kids on YouTube are putting out all kinds of information that could be used for something bad. But the professionals tend to gravitate to one another. So we know one another. Mm-hmm. We go to the distributors. We spend time through training with the manufacturer's reps. Now, for the most part, we do our diligence in background checks. I know through the Society of Professional Locksmiths, we do run people through a commercial service that will do a background check. And we do our best. Now, you can't predict if someone down the road is going to do something bad.
Right.
But you certainly can judge their character through association.
Let me wind up because it's time to let you get to work with one one final question. Have you ever met a lock that you couldn't open?
Oh, for sure. For sure. There's
it does happen
out there. Oh, yes. There's all kinds of locks out there. It's very difficult to try to say, and it's almost irresponsible for anyone to say that a locksmith can open any lock, even if someone is trained. I mean, I've been doing this for 26 years or plus, and there does come a time where you're not able to use the tricks or the skill sets in order to bypass a lock. And, it takes some very creative thinking to bypass or to actually at times have to pull out a drill and drill that lock off.
Right. Well, I guess from your perspective, maybe that's not a bad thing. There's always a new challenge then, right?
Oh, and that's what makes this one of the best career paths to take. If anyone listening is a problem solver, they want some freedom to be able to go out and be as creative as they possibly can. Kind of like the Marines, we're looking as an industry for a few good men and women. It's a fun industry that can give you an honest day's pay for an honest day's work, and you're actually helping people.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Tom Lynch. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Work Stew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the Work Stew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.